Hey guys, you're listening to The Guild Life. This is Mark, and I have with me today my usual co-host. I've got Ken. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. What's going on with you?
Not a whole lot. And we are bringing back one of our first actual guilds from Guild Launch that we had on the program. We've got John from the Lonely Mountain Band. What's going on, sir?
Good evening. Lots going on. Lots going on.
So briefly for some of our new listeners, why don't you just give us the highlights of who you are and a little bit about your band, and then we'll get into the particulars.
Yeah, the Lonely Mountain Band. We're a kinship on Lord of the Rings Online. We play on the Landreval server. Currently, we have approximately 450 members. I would say a good majority of them are active. We kind of prune the kinship list about every 90 days. So if somebody's not active for about 90 days, we usually boot them. But we'll welcome them back if they had to go away for unknown reasons. And we are a light roleplay kinship in Lord of the Rings Online. And currently the kinship is led by Harperella. I founded the kinship and I turned the leadership over to her probably last year. I got involved in a lot of extracurricular activities outside of playing LOTRO 24 hours a day, and I felt it was time to pass on the leadership because, you know, leadership can get stale as well. I feel it's good to cycle the leadership, even if you still have time. It adds a new dimension, and I still play a leadership role, but I'm considered the founder now, and So that's pretty much it about Lonely Mountain Band. You know, we have a lot of events in game, popular role play events, music and spoken word poetry and stuff like that online. I founded Ales and Tales, which happens every Monday night on the Landreval server at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, and that has become probably one of the most popular live events that happens in LOTRO. I can't think of any other. There might be some on other servers, but pretty sure that's one of the most. And we do it every Monday. I don't think we've ever canceled in almost 2 years now. We run occasional larger one-off annual events. So far, our largest event is Weatherstock every year. That happens, and this year it's in June. We're having Weatherstock, and that is kind of like a virtual battle of the bands on top of
Weathertop.
Weathertop in the Weather Hills, Iman Sul, if you want to get into the lore, and that's a very large event. And this year I think will be ridiculously large. Because of various reasons, but that's pretty much that's pretty much the Lonely Mountain Band in a nutshell. We're very active in many ways, in terms of scheduled events, scheduled quests, scheduled instances and skirmishes and raids and just general role play adventures. We keep an ongoing story and we keep multiple threads, and just a very, very friendly kin to be involved with. We have a charter, kind of like a friendly set of rules that we all abide by, and that keeps things very civil and organized within the game. And it's just a great home for people who, you know, like Tolkien lore, but at the same time, you know, want to have a civil gaming kin. And you could be a casual player or you could be totally hardcore and probably find something that you enjoy in the Lonely Mountain Band.
Very cool. And, you know, it's really awesome to hear of a kin or guild, you know, is, I guess, the more mainstream term.
Sure.
That's so darn huge, 400 members. I'm like, man, I remember being in guilds, like, if you had like 50 members, you were like, you know, it, you know, you're forced to be reckoned with, right?
Yeah. And it's funny because I think like in LOTRO, part of the game mechanic of kinships is like, when you reach rank 10, you can have 1500 members. And I'm like, 1,500 members. I will never reach that, you know. But we're at 450 now, so I don't know. Maybe we will, but I don't know if that's too big. I'm not sure. We'll have to see, you know. Right now, 450 is kind of comfortable. And, you know, you have all different levels of activity amongst gamers. So, you know, you can have somebody in the kinship who doesn't log on for 3 months, and they'll come back. So, but like I said, we kind of prune it every 3 months, every 90 days. And we boot people if we haven't heard from them. Because if we didn't, the roster would be just ridiculous.
Right.
It'd be ridiculously huge. So,
What have you been up to since we last spoke?
Well, what was that about? It was about a year ago, right?
Almost. I mean,
it was about 7 months. Yeah,
it was before PAX East, in which case they are, you know, showcasing some of the new content, which should be coming out.
Yep. Since then, you know, as you guys know, I've been kind of involved in music too in the real world, so just been working with my bands and some of the Tolkien-inspired music. But as far as the kinship, and in Locho, just kind of keeping things going. You know, I think one of the things that attracts people to our kinship is the fact that we stated early on that we would be a lifelong kin. As long as Locho stayed alive, we would be there at some level of activity, whether high or low, and we want to see the ring go into the fires of Mount Doom. So I think that, you know, people feel like they can really find a home with us. Since last year, just been carrying on and trying to keep things fresh and relevant and new within Lotro, because everybody knows, you know, when you're with these types of games for a long period of time, you know, you could be threatened by the grind and the same old thing every night. So we really try to come up with as many new events and styles of emergent gameplay that we can possibly dream up, and we have a lot of great people in the kinship who really contribute quite a bit. I mean, the main thing I could say about the Lonely Mountain Band is our secret to survival has been that we've got multiple people really in leadership roles. Harparella as the main leader, myself as founder and an officer, and then a whole slew of other officers who really play an integral role in keeping things rolling. We've kind of delegated little areas within the kinship. And that, I think, probably is one of the most important things we've done besides our charter and having a set system of rules and ethics. We delegate to our officers certain areas that they can focus on. Like, we have a quote-unquote, for lack of a better word, a role-play officer who kind of tries to organize little role-play events, and we somebody who will lead a raid here and there, or somebody who will be in charge of making sure we have plenty of pipe weed for some social event, etc. So if you can have somebody like an officer in a kinship or in a guild who really focuses on their little area, it really can go a long way in keeping a kinship active. So really, that's pretty much it as far as the kinship is concerned, what we've been doing this year. And now the biggest part of what we're planning is Weatherstock, which is the big music event. So
that's pretty amazing. What kind of event server sizing or TeamSpeak or whatever? What do you use to speak to everybody?
Most of the people, as far as just like questing and stuff, we use the system that's integrated with Lotro. It's funny because I personally don't use the voice systems that much when I game. But when we do, usually, you know, when we're talking about like a small fellowship, it's usually just the integrated system that they have within Lotro. A couple of people in the kin host different vent servers. I'm not sure which technology or which system they're using. So that's that as far as voice. But so that's it.
I kind of lean towards that myself. I don't usually hop in vent very often myself, so I can feel your pain there.
Yeah, I mean, it's for a lot of you know, small fellowship quests. A lot of times people don't even bother with it, in my experience, anymore. Especially quests they've been on already. It's like, you know, okay, unless it's some, you know, obviously some very difficult raid or difficult quest where everybody really needs to be on voice. I find it to be, you know, if it's not a difficult quest or a raid, I find it to be distracting from my immersion, so to speak, to be on voice. But so people are always, you know, poking me. Hey, turn on your voice, you know.
No.
Hey, turn on your voice. I want to talk to you.
Yeah. Am I breaking up?
You're coming in broken and stupid, over. So, let me see. Tell me about, or if you're even interested in all the new content that, or I guess it's like a new chapter in the world that's going to be released. And I believe they're going to be talking about it more at E3. They kind of hinted at it. It's like the, what was it? Ken, the Northern Coast or something? I can't remember.
It's going into what was it?
You know what I'm talking about, right, John? The new expansion that they're working on?
They're going into Isengard.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I just remember from the video, I was like filming it and,
to film.
And they were like, hey, you, get out of here, you know, stop, thief or whatever.
Yeah, stop, thief.
You know, so.
I'm really at this point in the game, I have not been. I actually try to shy away from some of the news just to be a little bit more surprised now. There's probably quite a few people in my kinship who are much more attuned to the updates and things of that nature than I am. Being a Tolkien fanatic myself, knowing what I know about the lore. I tend to want to be surprised by what I find in game, so which is kind of hard for me to avoid the news. In the various things I'm involved with, and I guess we could talk a little bit about it coming up, is like the Middle Earth Network, which is a social network we're developing right now. I'm constantly faced with LOTRO news, and it's kind of like self-spoilers. I'm always trying to avoid, okay, what's coming next, even though I really want to know, and I wish I could influence what's coming next. I'm very interested in what's next. I'm always very attuned to how it relates to the lore, probably more than anything. I think one of the greatest attractions for me to LOTRO is just number one, exploration, and seeing visuals of what I might know about, either through the books or through the expanded legendarium of the history of Middle Earth.
The Silmarillion.
The Silmarillion and beyond. If you want to read 10 volumes of Christopher Tolkien's editing work.
Hey, so describe for us, unless that was just a nugget that wasn't really meant to be explored, but I'm going to explore it anyway because, you know, I'm that guy. what do you mean the Lord of the Rings network? Explain that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, this and you asked earlier what have I been doing since our last discussion? Most of my time right now is spent, and sadly to it keeps me out of LOTRO quite a bit. Is I'm developing, in coordination with a few other people, the Middle Earth Network, which is a social network revolving around fantasy and Middle Earth influenced, Middle Earth influenced news and fantasy in general. But right now, we've developed with the Middle Earth Network a radio station, which is called Middle Earth Network Radio, and it's 24/7 streaming online. Fantasy music, Celtic music,
and
all fantasy related podcasts and interviews, and you've opened Pandora's box by asking me what what is the Middle Earth Network? There's so much content we're developing right now. The Tolkien professor, Dr. Corey Olson, teaches at Washington College, has kind of jumped on board with us as an exclusive content provider. He does online seminars and classes related to the Silmarillion and more. He's got nearly, I think, right now about 2 million downloads on iTunes from his recorded classes, all related to Tolkien. And we're streaming him every day on the Middle Earth Network Radio, as well as other podcasts, interviews. We have our own series called The Bird and Baby, where we interview guests, whether it be artists, movie producers, musicians, related to fantasy in general. Right now, it's mostly focusing on Tolkien-related stuff. For example, we had Kate Madison, who's the director, actor and director of Born of Hope. We had her on one episode. We had Ted Naismith, Tolkien artist, on one episode. Tolkien professor, Doug Adams, who wrote the book companion to Howard Shore's soundtrack from the Lord of the Rings movies. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the Middle Earth Network.
So is this... Oh, I'm sorry. Please.
No. Go ahead.
No, please continue. Please.
Oh, we got plenty of time to fill. Go right ahead.
I was going to say, we're developing a load of content right now in addition to what we already have. And as far as the radio is concerned, you know, the content that we're developing, like I said, The Bird and Baby, features guests of that caliber. We also have now, just as of yesterday, we have a man on the scene in New Zealand who's going to be doing exclusive Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit movie related news directly from New Zealand. And we're going to be doing news updates on the radio as well as the website. The website is mymiddle-earth.com. That's mymiddle-earth.com. Or just themiddleearthnetwork.com can get you to the same place. And that actually is a social network that we're developing, completely revolving around Middle Earth and fantasy in general. So you can go to mymiddleearth.com and create a profile. You can join groups. You know, you might join a Robert E. Howard group, or a Tolkien group, or the Tolkien professor has his forums now hosted right on mymiddleearth.com. Among so many other things, there's a member blog. People who join up can write articles, and they can be featured in our online magazine. We have a forum. We have events. As far as events are concerned, we just had a live Tolkien chat in New York City a couple of weeks ago with myself and Dr. Corey Olson, the Tolkien professor. So we released that news right on site. And you can get the radio station right off that site as well. So it's just, there's so many elements revolving around this and related to this peripherally that it's almost hard to describe. And we just tipped over 1,000 members on the social network yesterday.
Wow.
And we're still in beta. We haven't even done a press release or anything yet. There's a lot of exciting news related to the Middle Earth Network coming this summer. A lot of exclusive content that movie fans and gaming fans are going to be really excited about. So I would definitely encourage people to go to mymiddleearth.com, join up on the social network, and get involved with us. And I want Guild Launch to have a group page there as well.
Very cool.
Well, we definitely can kind of work on that.
Yeah. And on that note, I would love to have you guys on our podcast and turn the tables on you and interview you guys.
Done.
And for those of you who haven't been to the Middle Earth Network yet, I just discovered that there is background music playing. So if you hear something funny during that last talk, that would be the background music for me going to the site.
Yeah, and it's really cool. Well, I mean, based on that, I mean, we're definitely going to have to try to bring you back a lot sooner than we had anticipated, because you've opened up a whole can of worms. that we really kind of want to get into, but let's table that. And let's have a more in-depth discussion on that.
If we could. Yeah, we can. I can come back. As a matter of fact, maybe we'll do it with my co-founder, Mark Osley. Maybe we can have both of us on to talk about Middle Earth Network.
Yeah, let's definitely do that. Are you guys at all going to E3 or tracking any of that?
Yep. We have kind of tentative plans to be there in some capacity, and I'm going to try to tag team that with some music as well that I'm involved in with my multiple music projects. So,
well, yeah, the reason I'm asking is because I'm going to be going to E3, so maybe I can get like an interview or something out there, because I'm planning on talking to the Turbine folks.
Okay, cool.
So yeah,
absolutely.
Let's
stay in touch for that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, heck, it's less than a week away.
Okay.
Sweet. Well, hey, let's wrap that then here, and then let's go ahead and try to definitely schedule to get something set up post E3 and try to jump this to the next level.
Oh, E3. I thought you were talking about PAX East. I just realized that was a total brain
aneurysm
there. That,
that's fine.
I mean, you said PAX East now, but
we'll be at PAX East too. So
yeah, well, okay, maybe we can. You know, another thing too is I don't know if you guys have the ability, but we can do live streaming. So if you guys wanted to come on the Middle Earth Network Radio and stream live from E3, that is a possibility.
Wow,
there you go.
we're doing quite a bit of live streaming now. We're going to be live streaming the Weatherstock event. By all means, let's definitely stay in contact and I would love to coordinate any kind of events like that with you guys. And we need more content on the station, so if you guys wanted to redistribute the podcast or any content that you could dream up, we are more than happy to support the general gaming community as well, and Guild Launch is my favorite guild hosting site. So, by all means,
we didn't even pay for that.
Nah, absolutely not.
No, that sounds great. So what I'll do is I'm scheduled to interview and talk with the folks at Turbine to try to get some of the latest games information, and then I can try to do a stream with you, I guess Tuesday night or something.
That would be awesome. And we could stream it live right over the airwaves.
Yeah, we'll try to do that.
Okay, cool.
Cross promotion. So Ken, I've kind of hogged it. Do you have any questions?
No, actually, he answered all my questions while answering yours.
Cop out. Nice cop out. Well, then go ahead, John, and let's definitely try to save some of this for PAX for post E3. Mm-hmm. Because I want to get some information offline, and let's try to set it up so that we can definitely do some of that stuff. So why don't you tell us all your different sites then?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. 30 of them.
yeah. I'll try to narrow it down. As far as the Middle Earth Network, people can just go to themiddleearthnetwork.com. The social site is mymiddle-earth.com. That is the social network. And right from there, you can get the radio station. And Lonely Mountain Band Kinship in Lotro is alesandtales.com. And you can pretty much find all the information regarding the kinship there. And the Weatherstock event is on the Lotro lore book as well. And my music is at minstrelsongs.com. My Tolkien-inspired music is at minstrelsongs.com. That's pretty much it.
Sweet. Well, thanks, John, for joining us. Thanks for talking about all of the many Lotro projects that you're on. Like I said, we're definitely going to look, and I'm going to try to see if I can stream with you next Tuesday, if possible. We'll try to work, you know, the timing out.
Okay.
And again, you know, but man, I mean, you just blew me away, and I'm just sitting there going, man, there's so much that we got to now process to take on, because there's a lot of different things I think that we could probably make happen.
Right.
And so again, thank you, sir, for joining us. Ken, thanks for taking time out of your busy day to, you know, kind of hang out with us.
No problem, man.
All right.
My pleasure, guys. It was great talking to you once again.
All right. Well, that's our show for tonight. Thanks, everybody, and have a great week.
Night, everybody.
Good night.